With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome along to this midweek La Liga Lowdown podcast. In these midweek podcasts, we like to go a little more in-depth, and we've got a special story to dissect and present for you today. It's the story of the 1980 Copa del Rey final, when Real Madrid's first team took on Real Madrid's B team. I'm your host, Hugh McTeer, and we've got some excellent contributions coming up as we tell you this fascinating story, recounting one of the most significant days in Real Madrid history. To understand how Real Madrid's B team, known as Castilla, ended up in the Copa del Rey final of 1980, we first have to understand how they ended up in the competition in the first place. You see, before 1991, the B teams of clubs were legally treated as independent entities. They weren't allowed to compete in the same division as the senior teams. So if they won promotion to La Liga, for example, they would have to forfeit it and give the spot to the next best team, as is still the case today. But back in those days, they were allowed to enter the Copa del Rey, even if they weren't allowed to meet their A team until the final. It's also important to understand that for most of the 20th century, Spain's top clubs had multiple feeder clubs. In essence, they had multiple B teams. This was also true with Real Madrid, and Castilla was one of these feeder clubs, but ultimately ended up becoming the exclusive B team for Los Blancos. To tell us a bit more about the origins of Real Madrid Castilla, here's Roman de Arquer.
Real Madrid Castilla Club de Fútbol was originally founded in 1930 as Agrupación Deportiva Plus Ultra by the workers of an insurance company called Plus Ultra. At the time, it could be considered one of Madrid's unofficial reserve teams, among many others, who would provide Real Madrid with players in exchange for financial support. So Madrid would feed off many different clubs from the region when looking for raw talent, but without any direct ownership over these clubs. But it was in 1947 when Real Madrid reached an agreement with Agrupación Deportiva Plus Ultra to become their sole provider of players, in exchange for that previously mentioned financial aid. Although the club's decision-making would still be independent from Los Blancos. Players such as Luis Aragonés, Vicente del Bosque, Miguel Muñoz, or Zárraga played for Plus Ultra before enjoying successful careers at the top level, coming to prove how important it was to have a team in which to develop talent. And they were quite successful, almost reaching Spain's top-tier division in the 1959-1960 season. But things got complicated for them in the beginning of the 70s, when Plus Ultra, the company, was acquired by the Bank of Bilbao, who was interested in cutting back on superfluous expenses. The football team was actually suffering financial losses, so this is when Real Madrid decided to make things official by purchasing their federative rights in 1972 and changing the team's name to Castilla Club de Fútbol. This name was selected to honor the region from which the club originated. From there on, the team would always flirt with promotion to Segunda B, until it was finally achieved in the 1976-1977 season, and then followed by another promotion to Segunda the following year, where the team would consolidate itself for over a decade. But in the Copa del Rey, before their impressive stint in the 1979-1980 season, Castilla never made it past the third round, since becoming Madrid's official reserve team. That was their best result, which they managed in three occasions. although as Agrupación Deportiva Plus Ultra, they had once reached the quarterfinals in the 1958-1959 season, which was their best result, defeating Racing de Santander, who were called Real Santander back then, Real Sociedad and Deportivo de La Coruña along the way, until Granada thrashed them 7-2 on aggregate in the quarterfinals. But Castilla's best performance in this competition was yet to come.
That's right, it wasn't until the 1979-80 season that Castilla embarked on their best ever cup run. They had some great players in that squad, even if the average age was only 20. They had players who would go on to enjoy successful careers with the first team, the likes of Agustin, Francisco Pineda or Ricardo Gallego. The success was probably down to the players more than anything. The coach, Juancho Garcia, never really enjoyed any success coaching outside of Castilla, having a couple of fairly unsuccessful stints with Rayo Vallecano and Tenerife. This Castilla Cup run wasn't down to his tactical genius or anything like that. It was purely down to a really talented generation and a group that was united and that played hard. They had to overcome some very tricky hurdles to reach the final. Don't be fooled into thinking that they had an easy cup run. As Alex Fitzpatrick is about to explain, it was anything but easy.
Castilla were a Segunda Division side at the time and entered the draw at the first round stage. They played 7 two-legged ties, a total of 14 games in order to progress to the final. In the first two rounds, Castilla showed their superior league status, winning convincingly against sides from the Tercera División. In the first round, they faced Extremadura, racking up a 10-2 aggregate scoreline across the two legs. Alcorcón were the next team to fall, a 5-1 result after the home and away games. Castilla then faced their first real challenge of the competition against fellow Segunda División side Real Racing Club de Santander, winning the first leg at home in front of their own fans by 3-1. They then managed to grind out a 0-0 draw in the return leg in Santander to book themselves a place in the fourth round of the competition, where they would face their first opposition from the Primera División, Hercules Club de Football. This game saw Castilla pull off the first of three spectacular remontadas, or comebacks, to make their way through to the next round. Against Hercules, though, was possibly the most spectacular of those. In the first leg, Castilla travelled to Alicante, but had a less than sunny welcome from the home side. Castilla were convincingly beaten by 4-1, with the newspapers the next day lauding the victory as a whipping. Yet the 88th-minute consolation goal from Francisco Pineda would prove to be important in the balance of the tie. Back in Madrid, 7 days later, and Castilla turned the tie on its head, progressing to the last 16 with a 4-0 victory, the winning goal coming in extra time with the tie at 4-4 on aggregate after 90 minutes. The remontada was described as Castilla shatters Hercules by El Mundo Deportivo. Castilla marched on to the round of 16 and would face another Primera División side. Throughout their run to the final of the competition, they were forbidden to play against their parent side, Real Madrid. On two occasions, Lady Luck pulled their ball out of the cloth bag alongside that of the A-team, and a redraw had to take place. This time, ahead of them were Athletic Club, a difficult opponent and a side who would go on to win the league in 1983 and 1984. Castilla put on a good showing and managed to hold Athletic to a 0-0 draw in the first leg in Madrid. Then, against all odds, Castilla pulled off an unlikely 2-1 victory in San Mamés, which El Mundo Deportivo described as a humbling of the King of Cups in reference to Athletic's 23 previous Copa del Rey titles. Now in uncharted territory, Castilla would face another giant of that early 80s era, Real Sociedad. The Basque side finished second in Spain in that very same year and would go on to be champions of Spain in 1981 and 82. Having already pulled off one remontada earlier in the draw, Castilla made it their trademark in the season's competition. In the quarterfinal, they lost the first leg 2-1 in the Basque country, but made home advantage count against Real Sociedad in the second leg, winning 2-0. Following the game, there was a half front page spread in El Mundo Deportivo entitled Incredible Castilla and Castilla Sensational Once More, on the inside pages. If Castilla's journey to the semi-final hadn't been dramatic enough, they saved the best for the semi-final tie against Real Sporting de Gijón. The first leg in Gijón was controversial to say the least. Referee Álvarez Maguenda sent off Castilla's Ricardo Álvarez for two yellow cards and awarded two penalties to Sporting in Castilla's 2-0 defeat. All looked to be lost, but Castilla had come too far to give up at this point. As had been the case throughout their cup run, Castilla proved to be no pushover back in Madrid. Playing at the Bernabeu, the local fans flocked to support in numbers, with over 80,000 in attendance. Castilla raced into a 3-0 first half lead. Gijón pulled one back in the second half, but the revival was a temporary one as Castilla took back their 3-goal advantage, saw out the game, and became the third Segunda Division side to reach the final of the Copa del Rey, where they would face the first team.
So there they were, Castilla had reached the Copa del Rey final and they would be playing big brothers Real Madrid. How did the final go? Who won? Who scored? And what was the aftermath of it all? We'll be discussing all of that after this short break.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome back to this La Liga Loadout episode about the 1980 Copa del Rey final, a final where Real Madrid's A team played the Real Madrid B team in the showpiece event. Of course, it was held at the Estadio Santiago Bernabeu. It was a Madridismo party, and to tell us how it went down, here's Paco Pollet.
June 4th, 1980. The stands were almost in full attendance and the atmosphere was exciting, possibly not as dense and electrifying as in other potential fixtures, but exciting nonetheless. Two siblings were about to play against each other and the fans didn't really want it to become a clash of wills. The Santiago Bernabeu held the final between Real Madrid and its B team, Castilla, with plenty of hype for Madridistas around Spain. Would the young team of up-and-coming players deliver another surprising upset, or the big brother would prevail with its lineup of football stars? García Ramón, Sabido, Pirri, Benito, Camacho, Ángel del Bosque, Estileque, Juanito, Santillana and Cunningham started for Real Madrid. In Castilla's case, the lineup was made up of Agustín, Juanito, Herrero, Castañeda, Casimiro, Álvarez, Gallego, Bernal, Pineda, Paco and Zidane. Soon the fans and TV viewers noticed something pretty expected. Both the challenges and the tackles were pretty, pretty soft. Usually a final, as you know, delivers plenty of physical plays and players clashing, but this game was approached by both teams in a different way. Almost no fouls nor controversial plays throughout the 90 minutes. The stands also were pretty much divided. Obviously, most of the fans in the Bernabeu wanted Madrid to win, but in the same way, others hoped that the little kids would be able to beat their big brothers. They had followed Castilla throughout the whole competition and actually nicknamed them Los Mata Gigantes and dreamed about the team being able to cap off their run in a spectacular game. However, the board had different plans. They were much less subtle and had clear instructions for both teams. Before the game, several executives went down into the locker room and spoke with the players from both teams. When speaking with the youngsters, they remembered them that the final was going to be a big Madridista party and that they should also enjoy playing such a game, not really minding the end result. However, when speaking with the first team, their demands were much, much different, and they told them to deliver their absolute best, as losing to the B team could be perceived as a humiliation. Once the kickoff took place, Castilla played pretty loosely and merrily for around 15 minutes, not really caring about the pressure and the atmosphere and doing a decent job. It all ended when Juan Gómez Juanito scored the opener in the 20th minute, and then Castilla's players began feeling the heat and Real Madrid played much more confidently. Just before halftime, Santillana scored the 2-0 and almost secured the win. The second half would be pretty harsh on the youngsters as the first team had no mercy and the goals slowly trickled in. Sabido and Del Bosque placed a very tough 4-0 in the scoreboard, but Castilla were not ready to go without putting a fight. Álvarez dribbled and shot a true rocket from outside the box straight to the back of the net in the 80th minute to score the only goal for his team that night, which by the way was incredibly cheered and celebrated by the stands. Later, García Hernández in the 82nd minute and again Juanito, who got a brace that night, rounded off the score. 6-1, Real Madrid were the Copa del Rey champions against their B team.
Atención. Y finalmente el primer tanto de la tarde conseguido por Stilicke y Del Bosque. Precisamente Del Bosque ha sido el que acaba de conseguir el cuarto tanto a los 17 minutos y medio. Álvarez. Y golazo tremendo. Maravilloso gol de Álvarez, el extremo derecha. Ha sido un gol que ha sorprendido. Ha terminado pues este encuentro, señoras y señores espectadores, con esta abultada victoria del Real Madrid sobre su equipo filial, el Castilla, por 6.
Even though Real Madrid's board were ecstatic and insisted on both teams posing together to take pictures after the trophy was delivered to the winner, not everybody was happy about the way things developed. One of Castilla's players, Agustin, was outraged because of the board's message of them enjoying the game before the kickoff and playing a bit more relaxed while the first team had the orders of giving their fullest. And he didn't remain in the pitch, he left into the locker room and cracked open a door after kicking it from pure frustration. And later he would state that he deeply regretted not having played to the 100%.
Once the dust settled, Castilla were obviously happy with how the season went. They'd become the first ever B team to reach the cup final, and they'd finished 7th in the second division, a very respectable result. Plus, there was one final prize for them to enjoy. Given that Real Madrid had already qualified for the European Cup by winning the league, the Cup Winners' Cup spot, available to the Copa del Rey winner, went to runners-up Castilla, that's right. A B team was about to enter European competition in the 1980-81 season. That's pretty incredible. And to tell us about this Cup Winners' Cup part of the Castilla story, here's Matt Clark.
In the first round of the competition, Castilla faced West Ham United. They went behind at the Bernabeu in front of 40,000 spectators in the first leg, but recovered to win 3-1. The West Ham lineup featured household names such as Billy Bonds, Trevor Brooking, and Frank Lampard Sr. However, the game was overshadowed by crowd trouble amid a period when English football fans had a bad reputation for this kind of behaviour. 50 fans had to be removed from the stadium, and there were clashes with police outside the ground. One fan died after being hit by a bus following scuffles with police. These incidents were widely condemned by the British press and the London-based club, with players and the manager lamenting the actions of the culprits. As was widely expected, UEFA came down hard on the Hammers, heavily fining them and forcing them to play the second leg at least 300 kilometres outside of London. Sunderland offered them the use of Roker Park for the game, which is about as far as you could reasonably get away from East London. West Ham appealed this decision. Although UEFA did allow them to play at home, no fans would be allowed into the ground, nor could any see it live, either on television or in local cinemas. Consequently, this second leg in East London has been infamously dubbed the Ghost Game because of the UEFA enforcement to play behind closed doors. Only club officials, administrative staff, and the media were in attendance, with the official tally of 262, the lowest for a competitive match in the club's history. The game saw a stark contrast in fortunes for Castilla. The Hammers were 3 goals to the good before half-time, as they had too much for the youngsters. Castilla captain Bernal replied with a sensational free kick to make it 3-1 on the night and level on aggregate, but extra time was required to finally separate these two sides.
Now Brooking, and now Stewart. Morgan again. There's been very few occasions where West Ham have got their first time passing going, but it's brought them a goal that could be the winner. David Cross.
West Ham scored twice and prevailed 6-4 on aggregate. So the adventure was over at the first hurdle, but they have gone down in history as the only reserve side to enter UEFA senior club competition. This squad won the hearts of Madrid, and some of the key players went on to have distinguished careers with the senior side. The goalkeeper, Augustin Rodriguez, was promoted into the fold at the end of the following season, playing in the European Cup semi-final against Inter in just his first appearance at the Bernabeu. He kept a clean sheet too. He even started the European Cup final, which Los Blancos lost to Liverpool in Paris. Not bad for a goalkeeper who was playing second division football a year previously. Striker Francisco Piñera also made the jump from Castilla to first team. He played over 100 times in all competitions, winning 2 Copa titles and the UEFA Cup in 1985. The most notable graduate of that Castilla team was the midfield maestro, Ricardo Gallego. He played a total of 337 games for Real Madrid, winning 4 La Liga titles, 2 Copas and 2 UEFA Cups in a 9-season spell. He was also capped over 40 times by Spain, a testament to his consistency and ability. His standout performances in that Copa run for Castilla were obviously no flash in the pan.
So that's how this remarkable story came to an end for Castilla. They'll forever be remembered as a unique side that reached a Copa del Rey final and that played in Europe. They go down in history as the only B team to do so, and no B team ever will do so again. That's because the youth sides of professional clubs were forbidden from entering the Copa del Rey from 1990-91 onwards. Let's talk to Christopher McCormick of Managing Madrid and the Madrid Story now about whether or not B teams should be allowed back into the Copa del Rey. Christopher, you follow Castilla really closely and you'll know that the current Castilla side is a lot stronger than some of the teams who will be taking on La Liga sides in the first round of the newly formatted Copa del Rey. Should B teams be allowed back in it?
So I actually do think that the B team should be allowed to play back in the Copa del Rey, largely because a team like Castilla play in Segunda B, where it's not a pleasant league to play in. It's physical and hard to watch. So playing in the Copa del Rey offers B teams like Castilla the chance to play better, more technical sides that would challenge them in different ways and would ultimately be beneficial for the young players' development.
Interesting. You mentioned there the issues that come with Castilla coming up against the first teams of other clubs in the third tier. In general, do you think the presence of B teams in the regular footballing pyramid is a good thing?
I don't mind B teams playing regular professional sides. However, I do mind it when they're in Segunda B because it's just a more cynical, rougher league. I sometimes do wonder what exactly is the benefit of having B teams that low down, but in terms of like higher up where perhaps the league becomes more technical and more the referees are more forgiving, I can definitely see a benefit to them playing in the normal leagues.
Could the presence of B teams in the Copa del Rey force La Liga coaches into playing stronger teams, because then they wouldn't be able to just fill up their 11 with 5 or 6 kids from the B team?
I don't think the presence of B teams in the Copa del Rey would stop La Liga coaches from taking younger players from B teams. I think that if a coach thinks that a youngster is ready, is good enough to play for the first team in the Coppa level, they will take them and just play them anyways and allow the space that they leave in the B team to be taken up by an under-19s player. So I don't really think it would stop them from selecting the promising U players from B teams.
Thanks, Christopher. It's an interesting debate and one we hope you'll join in with us on Twitter by messaging and replying to @LaLigaLowdown. That brings us to the end of this podcast about Castilla's run to the 1980 Copa del Rey final. And thanks to Christopher McCormick there and to all of the other contributors, to Roman de Arquer, to Alex Fitzpatrick, to Paco Pollitt and to Matt Clark. I've been your host, Drew McTeer, and I thank you very much for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.